to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family, with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us through His Word, the Bible. Certain city, a radio station awarded prizes to the ideal bridal couple. It was an interesting assortment of prizes. One of the prizes was a certificate from a lawyer. It entitled a couple to free consultation in divorce proceedings. Divorce proceedings for the ideal bridal couple? You may smile at this, but actually it's a serious matter. On this program, we're going to be talking about the basics that go into a good marriage. Here again, we're going to find that the Bible gives us guidelines to help. This is Lesson 10 in the course, Guide to Christian Growth, an Emmaus Correspondence course. This entire set of lessons is available in book form. Stay tuned for our address and information on this course at the close of this 15-minute program. Now, Lesson 10, page 1 of that lesson. It's titled, Man, Woman, and God. One of the things which is too wonderful to understand is the way of a man with a maid. We read this in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 19. Because of divinely implanted instincts, young people of every generation have been strangely drawn to those of the opposite sex. The pattern is generally the same. Acquaintance ripens into friendship, then love, courtship, and marriage. Young Christians who are anxious to please the Lord realize that this is a tremendously important subject. When one's friendships are formed carefully and prayerfully under the blessing of God, they can exert a profound influence for good throughout a lifetime. On the other hand, when Satan is allowed to gain the advantage, lives may be wrecked and testimonies shattered. Let's talk about forming the friendship. It's good to consider a few of the basics in forming friendships with the opposite sex. The first standard must necessarily be, would this companionship have the sanction of Scripture? If a person is an unbeliever, there's no use even praying about the matter. The Christian is explicitly forbidden from being unequally yoked together with such. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. This is an important verse on this subject. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? It is a sad commentary on human frailty that Christians can often convince themselves that they are doing right in marrying an unsaved person. Otherwise, they will talk themselves into believing that the person might actually be born again. Both are simply forms of insanity. God forbids mixed marriages. When Samson fell in love with a heathen woman, his comment was, "She pleaseth me well." He would have done better to ask, "Does she please the Lord well?" The second test is, "Would I really want to marry this person?" This might seem at first to be unnecessary, but consider it for a moment. A young man dates a girl for whom he has no real regard. Perhaps there is some reason why he knows he would not want her as a life companion. In dating her, he's just trying to be friendly. Yet their affections deepen as they keep company together. Soon they find themselves infatuated with one another, and not long afterwards they exchange vows. The moral of the story might very well be, do not embark upon a friendship that in moments of calm reflection you would not want to culminate in marriage. Then the third question it is important to ask is this, do we have common interests? Can both parties pray together and fellowship together over the Word of God? Would the other person be a help in serving the Lord? Mental and spiritual compatibility are important ingredients of a successful marriage. Physical attraction is too often put first, and these others neglected. Finally, has the Lord given guidance to both persons? This is, after all, the great consideration. It's hard for young people who are in love to think clearly and objectively. They easily mistake sentimentality for guidance. A person might fulfill all of the first three requirements we've talked about, and yet not be God's choice. Be sure you have His approval. When this is known, then it is safe to enter into an engagement. A covenant of betrothal followed by a time of mutual faithfulness in anticipation of marriage. Although this is not as binding as marriage, nevertheless it is a solemn agreement and should not be considered lightly. To treat it as of no real importance is to trifle with the affections of another, and this often leads to sorrow and tragedy. Carelessness in this matter is a poor testimony for any Christian. Before we talk about protecting the friendship, let's pause for some music. A time to think about the important items that we have just mentioned. Listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family. And just now we're talking about love, courtship, and marriage. We're looking at Lesson 10 in the Emmaus Correspondence Course, Guide to Christian Growth. Stay tuned for our address at the close of the program. We'll be glad to tell you how to obtain this entire course in book form. Also, if you have questions on this subject, please send them to us. Now, protecting the friendship. Here are three golden rules in connection with companionship and dates. First, do not imitate the world. Love has become so degraded in the common mind that it's associated with necking, petting, and the public display of affections. Such actions are not only an outright disgrace for the Christian, but they are a positive danger. To engage in them is to play with fire. Even the strongest character cannot take fire into his bosom without getting burned. In fact, the believer should abstain from all appearance of evil. The reference for that is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. 1 Thessalonians 5, 22. This means he will so conduct himself as to give no cause for suspicion. Unchaperoned dates and excessively late hours have often provided the enemy with an occasion to blaspheme. Second, do not listen to the world. In schools and colleges, young people are openly advised to give rein to their lusts and passions. A life of purity is mocked as being prudish and inhibited. Immorality of various kinds, including loose relationships prior to marriage, is condoned as being the natural and necessary use of our body functions. Christian young people should not be fooled by this lying propaganda of Satan. They should constantly remember that their body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as they do so, they will heed the divine injunction of 1 Timothy 5:22, "Keep thyself pure." That reference again is 1 Timothy 5:22. Third, do not fraternize with the world. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, we read these words. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the 33rd verse. "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." If you constantly associate with unsaved people, you will be affected by their thinking and their standards. But even greater than that is the danger of falling into the hands of wicked persons who take evil delight in leading others into lives of sin. The world is infested with depraved people who will use every device of subtlety and deceit to coax young people to employ their bodies for sinful purposes. The book of Proverbs is especially instructive on this subject and should be a guidebook for every young believer in this regard. You will notice frequent warnings against the strange woman. In addition, you will find much in the way of godly, sane, and practical advice. In fact, the great resource for Christian youth is the Word of God. If we make it our daily meditation, we will not be contaminated by the loose moral thinking of the world, and we will be able to ward off the fiery darts of the evil one. The path of true happiness is always obedience to the Lord. If our friendships are cultivated according to His will, we can be sure that our lives will be filled with the very best He has to offer. One final verse, Psalm 84:11. "No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." That's Psalm 84:11. Next time we're together, we'll be talking about home, a suburb of heaven. Be sure to stay tuned for our address. If you would like to take this Emmaus Correspondence course, write to us. Also send along your questions. For those of you who already have the lessons, it's time for you to mail us your exam over lessons 9 and 10. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.